This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
We have Boss Brad here in the studio.
Hey.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to check in with you. I'm a little worried about you because the Detroit Lions are winning, and you've been a fan of this team your entire life.
Yeah.
And this is just a new experience for you, and I wasn't sure if you knew how to deal with it emotionally. Are you okay?
It's kind of like when somebody wins like $4 million and they, you know, don't know how to handle money.
Yeah.
And they go over the edge.
Are you getting too excited? What are your thoughts? You're 34-23 Lions over the Vikings this past weekend.
That was a good game yesterday, too. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, the Lions, they're doing stuff, and then they're not screwing it up after.
Yeah, that's the thing. It really is like wow, like what world am I living in right now? Like, this is not the way that it's supposed to be.
How would you describe your outlook here? Cautiously optimistic moving forward? You could make the playoffs.
I could make the playoffs, but at the same time, because they haven't, you know, made the playoffs in a number of years, and they've been horrible for, you know, decades upon decades. I'm just cruising right now. Every week is like, you know, like if they win, great. If not, you know, I'm happy with what the season's been so far.
It's pretty sweet, eh? Dan yeah. Campbell, I'm just glad this guy, it looks like he's going to keep his job because he is a character, huh?
Oh, he's awesome. Like, he's just such a motivator. And, like, I watch, like, the little, you know, the dressing room speeches after, and he's like a wrestler is what he is.
He really is. Totally. He's a scary-looking dude, too. Like, he's got a big square head, and I don't know. Yeah. If, like, anytime he talks, it's like he had, like, 10 Red Bulls before he speaks.
Well, he's a guy, too, that, like, you know, like a lot of the whole idea of rebuilding like the culture and everything in Detroit was bringing in coaches that were former players. So most if not all of the coaches have played in the NFL. And like Dan Campbell is like in the gym in the morning, like before the guys, like, you know, he looks like he'd look good with his shirt off. You know what I mean?
Take it easy. I understand that you're excited about the guy. Who do you have next week? Oh, the Jets next week?
The Jets are next week.
That could be a tough game, but then you got the
Carolina,
Panthers.
And then Chicago.
Doable.
And then Green Bay at Lambeau to end the season. Quite possible.
Storied rivalry.
Yeah, and they've historically been horrible in Lambeau, but Green Bay's not a great team this year. Carolina surprises people week after week, and the Jets are the Jets.
Pretty exciting, buddy.
I can't wait.
Imagine the Lions make the playoffs, Boss Brad. Oh, Christmas comes early.
I feel like you are just pumping Brad up just so he can ultimately be disappointed. And because this is like the Detroit, you know, all their games tend to, there's a glimmer of hope halfway through the game and then it collapses. And I think Taz is setting you up.
I'm not setting anybody up. I would be excited. Why does everyone think I'm rooting against people being happy?
You know what he does, though, Brad? Yeah, he wants you to 100%. Get excited, so you start saying
I'm
they're going to...
I'm excited
gonna,
for...
No, he wants you to start getting saying they're going to make the playoffs, and when they don't, Taz is going to be like, and Brad was in here saying they were definitely going to make the
and
playoffs.
And Jim, there's a lot of analysts saying that the Toronto Maple Leafs are the best team in the NHL right
now.
Now
he wants
wow,
you to start talking
parade.
Oh, my God.
Parade. Okay, you know, you need to stop, because I'm trying to start to remain calm right now, but I mean, I've worked with you for a number of years, and there's a little thing called the TC, which is the Taz curse. So stop talking about
I'm
other
not, listen, I'm not cheering for the Lions,
okay,
per
good,
se.
Good.
But I...
You could have stopped before per se.
I like to see our old pal Brad smiling in the morning.
Sure,
that's all
sure.
I'm saying.
For now.
Enjoy the ride. It's about the journey, not the destination.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by here, Brad.
You got it.
Go Lions.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
You know what I watched on the weekend, Jim?
What's that?
Based on your recommendation, Barbarian.
Yeah? Good, right? No?
You're such a jerk.
Why?
You know I don't like horror movies. And I was like, is it a horror movie? You're like, oh, no, it's more of a comedy. So I watched this movie. It's a full-on horror movie.
But it's funny. It's not a full-on horror movie. It's not gory, really. Actually, the one guy's face does get smashed into a concrete wall. Yeah.
That one just kind of...
Out of nowhere,
yeah,
too.
Happens all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Is it scary? I mean, I guess
it's
is. It is a horror movie, for sure.
The first half of the movie is just... You're just waiting for something to happen, and it's somebody with a flashlight walking through a long, dark
like
hallway.
There's tension, not murder, but tension.
A lot of suspense. And then when you figure out what's going on, it's pretty nuts.
But it's still a good recommendation, though, no?
It's well done.
Yeah,
for what it
is.
It's well done. A little ridiculous. I've got questions. I don't want to ruin it in case somebody hasn't seen it yet, but I don't understand how there were certain things happening.
Like, what do you mean? How the bad guy became the bad guy?
How the bad guy can smash through a wall, you know? A concrete wall.
Because, well, I don't want to say anything either. It almost made sense. It was it was close enough to making sense that it made enough sense for me. And it was refreshing that it wasn't an old native curse or some sort of magic or
different.
Something like that. Like, at least it was like there was some attempt at a logical explanation. Like every Stephen King movie, it always comes down to some ancient curse or magic, and it doesn't make
sense.
Burial
ground. Yeah.
It never actually is satisfying.
Yeah,
this one was close.
This one had an explanation. I don't think I'm going to be drinking milk for the next week.
But definitely good. I looked into that movie. I heard the name of the director. I said, how do I know that name? And he was actually in a sketch comedy group called The Whitest Kids You Know. They had like a couple viral videos on YouTube, like the Slow Jerk one and a couple others. So I think that's why it was funny, because he's got the background of that sketch comedy.
Yeah. Well, it seems that the comedy guys are making the best horror movies now. It's like Jordan Peele, right?
Yeah,
from Key
totally.
And Peele.
Exactly. Mad TV.
He's the new Alfred Hitchcock. He's the master of horror now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you you may want to watch it during the day, depending on how you are with suspense and tension. But Barbarian,
worth a watch.
Jim highly recommends it.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
World Cup rolls on, and wow, some big shockers over the weekend, huh, Jim?
Absolutely. Croatia put out Brazil, which was huge. Morocco moved on. I can't remember who they beat off.
Portugal.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Condolences to all our Portuguese friends, because that's they like soccer.
Yeah. What are they more upset about? Losing, or that Ronaldo was benched for the last two games?
Yeah, that's right.
More or less. He got put on.
They benched him on Saturday, too, right?
Yeah. So
didn't start him.
Yeah.
It turns out Canada was in the group of death. Who knew?
Yeah, it turns out Canada and Belgium got put out. But everybody thought Belgium was going to be the toughest team in that league, but or in that table. But yeah, Croatia, Morocco. I looked up Croatia's population. How big do you think Croatia is?
I'll go 7 million.
Yeah, Morocco's 30 million.
Am I right?
No. Morocco's 30 million. Croatia, 3.8 million.
That's even small.
It's like this smaller than Toronto, basically, population-wise.
But they're good at soccer.
Darn right.
Did you see Miss Croatia in the stands?
I did. Not bad. Something about that checkered pattern on a curvy body makes it look really good.
There was people saying that her outfit was disrespectful to other cultures because it was mildly revealing, I'd say.
Not to my culture.
Yeah, she's gone viral, that's for sure.
Yeah.
People were passing that picture around. Wow, yeah, who would have thought that we'd be in this situation? Without Brazil, without Portugal, England went home on the weekend.
Yeah, so it's France, Morocco, Argentina, Croatia is the next matchups here. A game tomorrow and a game on Wednesday as well.
Is France going to win this whole thing again? I hope not.
I think it's likely going to be them and Argentina in the finals. I think Argentina may win that one, but
don't you have Argentina in your pool? That'll be good for you, huh?
I do. I was number one out of 250 people in this pool for a while, but yeah, I'm now like, the top guy has 88 points. I have 80 points. I only have Argentina left. I think the guy on top has France, Argentina, and Croatia still left. So he can't lose, essentially. But I might get a couple $100 if I get third.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not as good as Canada getting out of the group of death, but you'll take a little bit of cash there. Yeah. Wow. World Cup surprises over the weekend.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
There is a man who is suing Johnny Knoxville for some money. There's a new show in development featuring Johnny Knoxville from Jackass called The Prank Patrol. And there was a man called Khalil Khan. He's a handyman was called to fix an electric dimmer switch at a house. When he got there, the owner of the house told him he knew jiu-jitsu and that if he didn't do the job right, he was going to beat Khalil Khan up. A couple minutes later, a young girl runs into the room screaming at Khalil that he had killed her pony. She and the homeowner lead him into a room where there appeared to be a pony on life support, and they convinced him that because he shut the power off, the pony, which was on life support, had died.
This is an elaborate prank here.
He then looks outside, sees his car is being towed.
What is going on here?
He took out his phone to call the cops. One of the towing guys holds up a bag of white powder and says if he calls the police that Khan would be arrested for possession of cocaine. So they're planting coke on the guy. Khalil's in an absolute panic. According to the lawsuit, at this point, in the span of minutes, I've been threatened. I've been told he botched a repair job, accused of murdering a pony, car taken without his permission. He could be going to jail for possession of illicit narcotics. So he's freaking out. It was at that point Johnny Knoxville appears and says, gotcha.
You just got punked.
He offered Khan a few $100s, but Khan says he's been traumatized by the ordeal, hasn't been able to sleep, he's been suffering from anxiety, emotional distress, and he's worried that if the footage goes public, he'll be subjected to harassment and ridicule.
Now, I don't know if he's just over-exaggerating the pain he went through, but I will say $300 is not enough, you would think,
no,
to pay these guys to go through this crap.
Don't sign the release form for $300.
No, wait till like 10 grand or something. But this is the most chaotic prank I've ever heard of. There is no
rhyme or reason
linear,
to it.
Yeah, they're like, maybe that's the point. It was supposed to be just chaos, but I hope they're coming up with more clever pranks. Like, one of those pranks would have been enough. The pony on life support, that's
pretty
fine.
Funny.
That's clever. But then the cocaine in the car getting towed. And
you just
cow.
Keep piling on.
Why don't you try and find another little jingle there instead of that peacock shit? It's really annoying. And I'm getting sick of listening to it. Get rid of that peacock. You want to see your peacock?
Cuckoo!
I want to see your peacock.
You wanna see your peacock, got.
I wanna see your peacock,
got.
Your peacock, got. Your peacock, got. Your peacock.
Hey, it's time for sports. Devin Peacock is our sports guy, and we got some drama going on with the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, so this was a weird story where Fred VanVleet unfollowed everyone on Instagram, including his teammates. And so there was a question earlier, late last week, in terms of what's going on with Fred VanVleet. There have been rumors this year he might be traded by the team. He's in a contract year. He has not had a great year. So there was some thought maybe there's some trouble in paradise. Fred VanVleet say, no, that's not the case. He was trying to reset the algorithm because he was getting a bunch of posts in his timeline that he didn't follow and he didn't like it. So he apparently also unfollowed his mother.
Okay.
And so he was trying to quote him, reset the algorithm, which I don't know if that's how the algorithm works, but that's his explanation.
You unplug it and you plug it back in. Isn't that the way you fix everything?
You blow on it a little bit and see what comes.
I do like the sleuthing going on, though. Like, who's watching his follower count? Like, I guess somebody noticed, but it's kind of bizarre.
It is really bizarre. I mean, whenever this happens, like one teammate unfollows the other teammate, people know about it almost immediately. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird, but it's also, I mean, I wouldn't know how to reset the algorithm. I don't know if you can reset the algorithm, so I can understand how you could fall for that, but it also just sounds kind of to unfollow everybody, you know?
How much spam are you getting? He must have been getting bothered, I guess. I don't know.
Like, if I unfollowed both of you guys, wouldn't you? You'd be a little,
I probably wouldn't notice, Jeff, to be honest. I didn't even know you followed me, but thank you.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Canadian Supreme Court judge authorized a lawsuit against Fortnite filed by some parents in Quebec who say their children became addicted to the video game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a concern of parents. How much screen time is enough, right?
Yeah, and video games are addicting. I think we've concluded that.
Well, that's they're specifically designed to get you to play longer.
Yeah, of course, especially these free-to-play games, because why are they free? Because somebody's really nice? No, it's because they make money elsewhere.
Yeah, they're going to get you to spend money on some skins.
Some
new
ridiculous
skins or whatever it is.
Yeah, for kids are obsessed.
New weapons.
Uh-huh.
So this family, the lawyer for this family is comparing video game companies like the one that makes Fortnite to the tobacco industry, saying that they purposely are getting kids addicted to this. And I guess the Supreme Court judge agreed.
It's tough because everything is addicting if it's awesome. You know what I mean? Like if you enjoy something and be addicted, playing hockey can be addicting. You can get addicted to anything if you enjoy it enough. And is it specifically just Fortnite that's addicting or then all video games? Because if Fortnite is deemed addictive for children, then therefore every video game must be.
Yeah, I was addicted to Mario back in the day.
Sure, but the thing that bothers me, I was reading this too, and the parents were complaining because they said their kids won't eat or shower. At what point is it the parents' responsibility to unplug that damn console and put it away? Like, your kids don't have that much power over you. Unplug it.
I have a buddy who threw an Xbox out into traffic because his kids wouldn't stop playing it. And later in life, the kids came back and said, "Dad, that was probably the best thing you ever did."
Yeah, yeah, except for the person who hit it with their car. Thanks, yeah, bud.
Caused an 8-car collision, yeah, but
threw it over an overpass.
Boy,
the
did the kids learn a lesson.
Yep.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
I had no idea that over in Korea, they calculated age differently than the rest of the world, Jim.
What do you mean? Like so, dog ears?
Well, kind of. Everybody in South Korea is about to get younger because they're changing what they call Korean age. Korean age is calculated. So if I was born today, when you're born, you're already one. Okay?
So you start at one.
You start at one.
Okay.
Instead of zero. You start at one. And when the new year rolls around, you turn two.
So everybody turns two at the same time? Or like everybody's birthday or everybody's age rolls up on January 1st?
Apparently.
Doesn't make any sense.
So if you were born
in November,
if you were born today,
yeah,
on New Year's Day, you would be two, even though you were only 3 weeks old.
Yeah, and you'd be the same age as somebody who was born in January.
But they've passed a new law declaring a person's international age, which is the way most countries tabulate how old you are, including here in Canada. International age is going to be used. Apparently the other way, I don't know how, but it's been causing some confusion over there.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice, though? All of a sudden, you're 2 years younger?
And then there's calendar age, which is a mix of both, your international age and your Korean age, where a baby is born and is zero, but another year is added on January 1st. Now, that is used to calculate legal ages for drinking, smoking, and joining the military in South Korea. So maybe it's not a great thing because you're able to drink and smoke and all of a sudden you're going to be 2 years younger than you were.
Sure, sure. But 6 months, you get to delay your military service by 6 months if you're born
right
in the summer.
Can't smoke, can't drink, but you don't have to join the military yet.
I mean, sometimes countries have these rules and they will never change them. They're so stubborn. They'll say it's like a cultural thing or a tradition or something like that. But I'm happy South Korea can just turn on a dime and say, this doesn't make any sense. Let's make a change.
It's been causing a real drain on governmental resources. So it's cost a lot of people. Yeah. Nobody knows how old they are over there, apparently.
Sounds unnecessarily confusing.
Your Korean age. This is my 2-year-old. Not very developed, is she?
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
On the weekend, Saturday, they're saying it was the best Saturday Night Live of the year.
Really?
Steve Martin and Martin Short were the co-hosts, Jim.
Nice.
Our fellas.
Our boys.
Yeah.
We go way back.
It is crazy, though. I did watch their monologue, and I've been such a huge fan of both those guys and their careers, their movies. it's crazy that whatever happens, 10 minutes of Steve Martin and Martin Short's lives were spent talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about
and
that?
And they'll never get that time back.
Yeah, we were fortunate to have them on our show when they were touring with their live show that they do together.
Yeah, the one that was on Netflix.
Right, they filmed it, put it on Netflix. Of course, they're doing the Only Murders in the Building, which if you haven't watched, that's a really fun program.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
And they had the audience in stitches reading each other's eulogies. They said, hey, you know... You go to a funeral, you never get to hear all the nice things that someone's going to say about you. So they decided to read each other eulogies.
So, Marty, I dedicate this eulogy to you. Wow, not much of a turnout. Marty did not want to be cremated. Too late.
There are so many great things that I could say about Steve Martin. But this hardly seems the time nor the place.
But Marty was taken away from us too soon. But sadly, not before he played Jack Frost in Santa Claus 3.
Oh, Steve, it's so hard to look at you in that open casket. Motionless, colorless, stiff, so lifelike.
Yeah. That's what I said. I'll probably have more color in the casket than I do in real life. Steve Martin, Martin Short getting rave reviews for their hosting of Saturday Night Live on the weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.